ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, today is 8-18-18. A lot of eights in that number today. If you have a legal question, you can give us a call. Hey, your question can be just about anything. Hosted Ask an Attorney for 34 years, and it's not too much. I haven't been asked usually multiple times along the way. And I've had other legal guests and experts on the show as well. And so if you have a question, why worry about it? Why not get a little peace of mind? Give us a call. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, personal injury, family law, small claims court, problems with next door neighbors, problems on the job, just a problem of any type. It doesn't even really have to be a legal problem necessarily. You need somebody to talk to give you a little different slant on things. Hopefully give you a little peace of mind. You can call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We have a caller already. Let's go to Robert in Jacksonville. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Joe, I've spoken with you a couple months ago about the same situation, and your information was extremely helpful, so I appreciate that.
Well, great. Thank you.
And I do have a couple more questions.
Okay.
Situation has gone from bad to worse, so just trying to deal with it. But it involves the settlement of my mother's estate, and there are four beneficiaries, the children. And my sister is the executor and has turned the whole thing into a real nightmare. And what I'm curious about, a couple questions, is the executor of an estate, is there any information that she is entitled to concerning the estate that she can keep from the beneficiaries?
Well, the personal representative is called in Florida. Is this a case in Florida?
No, actually, it's in Virginia.
Well, I can only give you the Florida answer, so I don't know.
That gives me a guideline, anyway.
Yeah, generally, the personal representative has to provide a full accounting of all assets and then give you a list of expenses and things that were paid to creditors. So they have to have a full accounting in place. The beneficiaries in Florida have to sign off and accept that before the personal representative can close the estate. Now, if you're dealing with things in the estate the personal representative is not directly involved with in Florida, like maybe in a retirement account with named beneficiaries or an annuity with a named beneficiary or jointly held accounts, that's kind of a different category of things that are not in the deceased person's estate that would require any probate proceeding.
The biggest single issue is the mortgage. There was an existing mortgage on the house, which is very hard for the other three of us to understand happened to begin with. But my sister just simply will not provide proof of either the mortgage being paid off by insurance or if it's still open. And we have our suspicions as to why. But the only thing I've ever been shown was a mortgage statement from the month that my mother passed away, and after repeated requests, she kept.
Well, has it all been verbal requests?
Oh no, there's been a lot of mail and email requests.
Well, what I would do is send a certified letter requesting what you would like to see, and maybe it's a short summary reason of why. Send a certified letter. If you don't get a good result, by trying to do it yourself than have an attorney write a letter demanding the information.
Okay. Now, this is pretty far along at this point. It's my understanding in Virginia that it's a 12-month process and then a 3-month extension, if needed, kind of automatically granted. But we're really at the very tail end of even the 3-month extension. So,
well, in Florida, the answer is you can request further extensions.
Okay.
You give a reason. Like I had one this past week that I had to further extend because we now have a buyer on the property and we don't have a closing yet. So we asked the court for a further extension, things like that. So
now, in the event that we would move to have her removed as executor, and it goes way beyond that one particular issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have literally been threats, blackmail, intimidation, everything else by her trying to get the rest of us to sell the estate completely over to her.
Well, you probably need to get a Virginia attorney representing you in this matter right away. That would probably be your best bet.
Okay, and just one more question. I do appreciate your time tremendously. But if I was to notify the court directly that there were some serious questions and issues that were not being answered, would they bring the process? How would they handle that as far as either stopping the process till that's looked into further or?
Well, they'd probably set a hearing to resolve the matter, but it'd be better for you just to go ahead and hire an attorney to represent you at this point, because all that's going to make it, you know, even more complicated. And trying to do it yourself, you do it yourself, then you'd still have to hire an attorney to go represent you to present your case, probably.
Okay.
Well, at least that's what would happen in Florida.
Okay. But the fact that the court...
And there might be some deadlines you've missed in Virginia to do certain things. So that's why you're going to need a Virginia attorney.
Okay. But in the event that there's been a possibility of criminal activity, does the court pick that up on their own to pursue, or is that still left through?
I would say if you hire an attorney and the attorney thinks there's criminal activity, he'll probably have an immediate motion to have her removed. And then the attorney would decide how to proceed with maybe reporting this to the state attorney or what have you for action.
Okay. Joe, once again, thank you tremendously. Your show is just a huge help to a lot of us out here.
All right, Robert, thanks for calling.
All right, have a great day.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, we have toll-free number for you, 877-943-9673. Hey, phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Sandra in Tampa.
Hello. I've heard you say that a car is not included in a probate, but is the value of it included in the value of the estate?
The value of everything a person owns is included in the value of their estate. However, now everyone has an $11 million exemption before any federal estate tax would apply.
Okay.
So unless you have more than $11 million, you don't have to worry about the estate tax.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. That was an interesting question. I had dinner last night with an attorney who also does estate planning, and we had a very interesting conversation about an auto trust. So what exactly is an auto trust? Well, and when would one need an auto trust possibly? Well, an auto trust is a separate trust. If you own a car and you have 16, 17-year-old drivers, maybe even 18 to 21 or 16 to 21 driving your car, and the car's in an accident, well, they sue the owner and the driver. So in some cases, it would be beneficial for the owner of a car to be a trust instead of a person. So there is such a thing called an automobile trust, an auto trust, to keep the ownership totally separate. So if you are one that loans your car to friends that come to visit you in Florida, or if you're one that has a younger than 21-year-old driver in the family driving a car, and any one of those, I always tell people, never loan your car out. Somebody flies into the airport, tell them to rent a car at the airport. You know, you're not going to let them drive your car. So you, but you can create an auto trust for the trust to own the car. At least that takes your ownership angle out of the lawsuit. Because then they would sue a trust. They would sue the driver. Hopefully not you. They would sue the driver and the trust. But the only thing in the trust is the car. You have any questions about that, give us a call. Let's go to Bert in Sun City Center.
Yes.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I want to file for a divorce, and my wife moved out of state. How do I serve the papers? By mail?
Yeah, by serve. You going to try to do this yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, you could do it by certified mail.
Now, if we can't decide on the alimony and things like that, would we have to go to court or to do...
Well, yeah. So how long have you been married?
About 35 years.
Wow. There's no way to repair the marriage?
No.
I mean, would you both consider counseling maybe to resolve any issues?
No.
Okay. Well, has she totally relied upon your income all these years?
No, she had a job for a long time.
We have a family law attorney on our staff. Her name is Catherine. I'm sure Catherine would give you a free consult to discuss some of these issues. Would your position first be that she's self-sustaining and maybe not could live without your alimony payment?
No. That's, she can't live with what I've been paying her for support.
I see.
She wants more.
I see. Would she file for divorce if you didn't?
No. She doesn't want a divorce. Primarily because of my federal health insurance. I'm a retired federal employee.
I see. I can give you the number to call our family law attorney, Ms. Catherine.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right, so it's 727-586-3306.
3306.
Yeah, go to extension 200 and they'll connect you.
Okay, good.
All right, Bert. Well, I wish you well.
Thank you.
I'm sorry you're going through a divorce, but I wish you well.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, I don't think I'd do very well as a... Early in my practice, many moons ago, I did some family law. And I decided that my client was never really going to be pleased with the outcome. The other attorney's client is not going to be pleased with the outcome. The other attorney was going to be difficult to deal with, making unreasonable requests that had to be negotiated out. And I decided a long time ago after a few family law cases that, you know, and I've actually volunteered within my church to counsel people to try to help save their marriage. So I decided that I personally would stick to other areas of practice. One of them, of course, if you listen to the show, you know, is estate planning. Estate planning, probate, guardianship, asset protection, real estate, those type of issues where you can mostly be helpful to your client. Not that a good family law can't be helpful to you. It's just not the type of practice that I think I would enjoy personally. So I meandered into other areas as an attorney. Let's go to Bob in Venice.
Good morning.
Hey, Bob.
I have a question. I have a brother-in-law that's disabled. He's legally blind. He's in his 60s. He has one heir. He had two sons. One of them got killed in a motorcycle wreck. He asked me the other day if I thought he needed to have a will. He basically has no assets. He has about maybe $3,000 to $4,000 at the high point in a checking savings account, and then he just has the furniture in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants his remaining son to get everything, and he said, "Do you think I need a will?" I said, "I don't know, but I'll call Joe Saturday." So here
yeah.
I am.
Well, thanks for calling. I think everyone needs a will. First of all, he can appoint someone to be in charge of the estate, you know, and tidy up and close down the estate. I guess that would be his son if he's going to leave his son everything. It just makes it a lot easier for the son to proceed if there's a document that appoints him as the personal representative and perhaps leaves him everything to tidy up the estate.
Okay. Does it make any sense for him? Like, the only asset he really has is his checking savings account. Would it make sense to put his son on that account?
Well, that would be a gift. I don't know if he's on any government benefits. And it probably wouldn't hurt to do that, I wouldn't think, because if he doesn't have that much, you have to. If you're getting government benefits or Medicaid and you put someone's name on an account, that's considered a gift. So at least half of the value would be a gift for possibly determining what government benefits you'd be entitled to. Now, that sounds like a small account.
Yeah, it's very small.
Yeah.
And he's on SSI, and he doesn't get Medicaid. He just has Medicare.
Yeah, he could at least make the son the beneficiary on the account.
Okay.
And then if there's no probate or any other issue to deal with or no money to collect from the VA or government benefits, you know, the named personal representative of the will would have an easier time collecting assets after death, if there are any, for the VA to pay for the funeral or whatever, some things like that that might come up. I think everyone at least needs a will. And that also takes away any contesting by anyone who else thinks they might have a right to some part of the estate if there is no will.
Okay, great. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.
We have I'm going to call a young client. Let's say the client's 60 years old. The client, though, has in their family there have been severe mental and memory issues. You know, you look at this guy and talk to this guy, you would know maybe sooner or later by talking to him that he needs help and so forth. So some of his friends brought him to my office, and his family decided that he should give me a power of attorney to help him. So we immediately arranged some health care people to assist him, take him to doctor's appointments, and help him in any way we possibly could. Well, one of the things they did was, I never really heard of this, but it makes perfect sense, is they put a tracking device in his car. Because if he were to go out and drive the car, which he does, and was driving around and didn't know where he was and couldn't get back, now we have a tracking device on his car to know where he is, to go find him and give him some help, or at least find out the last place he parked the car. So in today's world, you can do things like that. You have someone, and this is a young, healthy-looking guy, 60, you know, in his early 60s, but he's got memory issues, and he still has a car. And he still can drive the car okay. Driving the car is not an issue. It's just where he might not remember where he winds up sometimes. So the healthcare providers recommended a tracking device in his car, and so now we have that. All right, let's go to Diane in St. Petersburg. Hey, Diane.
Hi. I've been named a personal representative in a will, and I want to decline doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how I go about it?
Well, has the person died?
Yes.
And has the will been filed with the court?
It will be this week.
And does the person who's named behind you want the job?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think the easiest way to do this is have the person behind you go visit an estate planning attorney or estate planning slash probate attorney. If this person came to me, we would prepare papers for you to sign that say that you would resign. And then we'd prepare papers for him or her to be able to open the estate.
Okay.
So the person that wants the job, my advice is the person that wants the job chooses an attorney, goes to that attorney. That attorney can prepare papers to relieve you of the job and appoint that the person that went to the attorney's office.
Okay. That's when they open the probate?
Yes.
What they mean? Okay.
So where was the location of the person that died? What county?
St. Pete.
So Pinellas St. Pete. County.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if the person who wants the job needs an attorney and doesn't have one, I would be glad to help them.
Okay. I'll tell them that.
Yeah. And then we would prepare papers for you to sign that so you can resign as personal representative. That person can then proceed with the job.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a question, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Larry in Arlington.
Well, good morning, Joe. Appreciate your time. I've got a situation. I may want to talk to you off the air. It's involving real estate as well as family law.
Mm-hmm. So you're calling from what state?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Excuse me, I should have told you that.
Yeah, it says Arlington. There, you know, there's
Arlington,
Virginia. I was just wondering if you were from
considered Arlington. Yeah, it's a subdivision of Jacksonville.
Okay, great.
It's kind of complicated. I'm dealing with somebody that's mentally incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
The house I'm living in is in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's in her name. She refuses to quit claim me. I can't get a permit. I can't do anything legally with the house. She wants me to sell it, which is impossible.
What's your relationship to this person?
We're married.
You're married?
Long term.
Is she competent to sign a legal document?
She won't even answer the phone.
Oh, so you don't live with her?
No, she is living in a residence in Georgia. I've got 27 acres in Georgia. She wants to trade me even, which is ridiculous. And that it's joint tenant in Georgia.
Joint tenant with right of survivorship?
Yeah, in other words, she could live there, I could live there. In other words, we're both listed.
Mm, but the home in Jacksonville is just in her name?
It's in her name exclusively. So, I'm kind of at a dilemma. She's on medication. She's got mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, she won't even answer the telephone. I asked her to quit claim this house to me, and I would sell it and split the proceeds or whatever would be fair. And like I said, she won't answer the telephone.
Can you leave her a message, or are there other family members involved?
I'm leaving messages. Well, yeah, but none of them answer the phone either. I'm leaving messages, but nobody responds.
Hmm. Well, you might have to get a court order to be able to sell the real estate, so, or have an attorney write her a letter on your behalf to try to get something moving. Do you know if she's represented by an attorney in Georgia?
She's being coached.
By her family or an attorney?
Well, her brother knows an attorney, and he's coaching her as to what to do.
Does her brother answer your calls?
No. Nobody answers.
Wow.
Nobody answers. Yeah, I've been ostracized.
Wow.
Basically. So I've got a kind of a tough situation. If I have to pay property tax. In other words, if I don't pay the property tax on it, which is over $1,600 each year, I lose the property, obviously. So, at this point, I'm paying property tax at both locations.
Where would you live if you sold the property?
I sold in Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, both.
Georgia. I prefer to be in Georgia.
I see. Would she take action to keep you off the property that you jointly own in Georgia?
It's possible. I mean, it's possible.
Why don't you go give that a try?
Yeah. In other words, just move up and sit?
Well, at least visit for a week. and see what you can work out.
If I leave this house, I'm in a bad section in Arlington. If I leave this house, they're going to gut the house.
Even for a week?
A day.
Wow.
A day. They're going to gut the house. There's people who are participating in heavy drug activity that will break in.
Well, what do you think the house is worth if you sold it under those circumstances?
In Florida?
In Arlington, yeah.
Yeah, in Arlington. It won't be a lot. I have to put $200,000 in it to get it sellable. I have to sell it as is, basically.
And what would you get for it?
$45,000. It wouldn't be a lot.
Yeah.
It's old. It's tongue and groove, and it's 1950s vintage, early 50s.
Yeah. All right, well, you might need an attorney to write her a letter and intercede for you and or try to call the brother and see if you can, the attorney can make contact and try to work some type of deal.
I have to work through it, see what I can do.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I appreciate your time.
All right, Larry. Thanks
for calling. Now, Catherine handles family law specifically,
yeah,
right?
She does, but she doesn't come to Jacksonville.
She's
in Pinellas. We have to find you someone else. I know a few people that I could refer to you, though, here in Jacksonville.
Okay, if I need that, I'll get back with you, Joe. I appreciate your time, and we really appreciate you being on.
Well, thank you so much.
It's highly beneficial to the community.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, I met with several clients in Jacksonville yesterday. I said the same thing. It's always good to know people appreciate the service you're providing. All right, let's go to Stan in Seminole. Hey, Stan in Seminole.
Steve
in Seminole. Okay.
Okay. The wife was given a box of Russell Stover candy for her birthday, and while she was eating it, one of the pieces of candy she chewed down on and broke her tooth. It had an entire cherry pit.
Mm-hmm.
We called Russell Stover, and they said, tough luck. And then they finally had somebody send us a box and a certified letter that they want us to send the original box and the cherry pit back. And I told her, don't be that dumb, because if you send it, they can say it got lost in the mail, mm-hmm. or they lost it, or they just throw it away. But somebody needs to take care of her tooth. It's going to cost almost $2,500 to fix that tooth, because it's in the very back. It broke her bridge.
I can give you the name of a personal injury attorney there in Seminole.
Okay.
Back to his office. It's right on Seminole Boulevard. I can give you a name, and maybe he can write a letter for you and advise you to how to deal with all of this. Because, you know, you can send the box back certified. You can take pictures of everything. You have any record of your correspondence with him?
Yes.
Yeah. But the attorney, if you contact me, I'll give you my, if you got access to email?
Yeah.
You can send me an email, and I'll send you his name and phone number.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right, I'll give out all my contact information right after you hang up here.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're listening to Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We have 20 office locations around Florida. We have multiple offices in Pinellas, Hillsborough, Polk counties. We have offices in Jacksonville, where I'm broadcasting today from. We have offices in Davenport, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have office locations available in the Palm Coast up to the Jacksonville area, including Ponte Vedra, of course, where one of my primary offices that I work out of is. If you'd like to contact us, and we don't charge for first consults, particularly on estate planning issues or probate issues. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me, it's simply Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You want to text me at 727-667-3967. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, you can contact us on the same method. It's a large poster sheet with all of our office locations, phone numbers, 5 good articles on estate planning choices, If you would like to have that, you can call our toll-free office number with your name and address, 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Hey, if you want to call the show in the remaining 20 minutes, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Alan calling from Sun City Center.
Yes, sir. It's actually the Sun City area, west of that area. Do you know if the Florida Rules of Civil Procedure require county civil courts to respond in a certain number of days, such as 30 days? I filed a motion for summary judgment. I've got a libel suit going on, and in the recent past, neither the other attorney or their defendants or even the court has responded to several motions I've made. So I was wondering, is the court required to respond some sort of a denial, even with or without prejudice or whatever? I would think so, but that's what I'm
asking. So who did you sue, actually? Who's the lawsuit against?
It's a neighbor who made false allegations, and they, in the discovery, the person actually denied ever showing up and making the allegations in court. So he committed slander on top of everything else. And about 2 weeks ago, I made a motion for summary judgment based on some of these issues. But I'm not confident that the court doesn't seem to even be involved, so it concerns me. Does a civil court have 30 days to respond? Do you know?
No. Well, I think everything is driven by you. So if you file a lawsuit and the person you're suing doesn't file timely, then you do a motion for default, and then you can send papers in for a judgment based on default. But it's all driven by what you submit to the court. The court is not proactive in doing things themselves. They're proactive in telling you if you missed deadlines yourself on certain things, but they don't just generate things on their own. You have to present those to the court for signature and the reasons why.
Right, which I did with a summary judgment for a final judgment.
Did you send in an order for the judge to sign?
No, I'm not.
That's the kind of stuff you have to do. You have to do everything yourself, basically.
Oh, do you know which part of the Florida Rules of Civil Procedure? Because I'm not familiar with that.
Why don't you call our office in Pinellas and ask for Jim?
Yes.
Jim can kind of advise you, walk you through a few steps, perhaps.
Okay.
So 727-586-3306. You know, call during the week and go to extension 200 and ask for Jim.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much,
sir. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, if you have a legal question, it can be about just about any area of law. You need a little peace of mind about some issue going on in your life. You can call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Kathleen in Sun City. Hey, Kathleen.
Hi.
Can you turn your radio off in the background?
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. That's much better. What can I do for you?
Oh, I have a guardian when I was here in the state.
You have a guardian and for yourself?
Yeah, he looked like my father, okay? And then...
You have a guardian that's appointed by the court to look after your father?
No. This one is about the will. That how can I find the will that have my name on there? Because he just died so suddenly.
Okay, your father died. Your father passed away.
Not father, but he's. I just regard him as a father, and through the conversation, he tell me that he gave me some of the.
All right. Well, when the person. Okay, let's say this person that died. Mm-hmm. If he had a will and someone had possession of it, they have, by statute, they have 10 days to file the will with the court, which then becomes a public record, which then you can access.
Oh, my God. But he dies in 2015. So I thought that.
All right. Well, contact the probate clerk. He died in Hillsborough County?
No, he's in Georgia.
Georgia. All right, you have to call the probate clerk in Georgia, in the county that he died, and they should be able to tell you whether there's a will that have been filed of record.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Yeah, and then if there is a will filed, you can ask to how many pages it is and how much it costs per page for them to send you a copy.
Right. Oh, okay, so I have to get to Georgia court.
Yes, ma'am.
And in particular, the county or
the county where he died. You want the probate clerk.
But I only know that he's in Franklin, Georgia. So I don't know which county.
Well, you can Google Franklin, Georgia online and figure out the county.
Oh, right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Paula in Tampa.
Oh, hi, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
I'm wondering if there's a way to effectively change a Lady Bird deed for a property my mom owns without jeopardizing her Medicaid benefits.
Well, Lady Bird deed is not considered a gift, so how would the deed be changed? She has a right to change it if it's a Lady Bird deed.
Okay.
So would she change the beneficiary upon her death?
Well, the way that she intended for this to work was that upon her passing, the house would go to me, but she's now, and she believed at the time that she would live there until she passed away. However, she now requires help with daily living. She's in an assisted living facility, and it's difficult for us to take care of the property, check on it, and so forth. So we'd like to sell the house, but we don't want to jeopardize her benefits.
I see.
We don't want to put her in a position where it hurts her just trying to dispose.
Well, normally, do you have her power of attorney?
Yes.
And is that fairly current?
It's probably 8 to 10 years old, I would say.
Is she competent to sign a new power of attorney?
She is.
Well, I'd recommend she sign a new power of attorney, and in the new power of attorney under a fairly new statute, it's 2011, but she signed her old document before that. The new statute under the power of attorney is, if it's done properly, and we'd be glad to do this for her, gives the power for you to be able to move assets around and create what's called a personal service contract. So the proceeds from the sale of the house could go into what's called a personal service contract, where she would not lose any benefits.
Okay.
So there's a way to orchestrate everything you need, including selling the house and keeping the money and not going off of Medicaid. We have a full-time Medicaid attorney on our staff. I'm guessing that's what he would do.
Okay. What would that create in terms of tax implications? Would that... I don't know. I guess.
Well, there's no capital gains tax on the sale of a home.
Okay.
Because she has a $250,000 exemption on that. The money going into the personal service contract, however, is taxable. If you were the person that would be her power of attorney to be able to help her through this, then that would be taxable to you.
I see. Okay.
So.
Okay.
But, you know, you're gonna save that $8,000 to $10,000 a month bill. Well, is she in a nursing home now?
She's in an assisted living facility right now.
Well, so she's not getting Medicaid benefits now anyway.
Well, she is, actually.
Okay, is the Medicaid under the diversion program? See, I'd have to know a little bit more about you, but I'm sure the Medicaid attorney can orchestrate a plan to sell sell the house, no capital gains tax, keep her on her Medicaid benefits with at least a personal service contract, or after he looks at the situation, he might recommend something else, but I know the assets can be, the benefit can be preserved.
Okay, so it's best to go ahead and schedule an appointment and bring in documentation and so forth?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. Do you have someone in Tampa who could help with that?
Are you close to Sun City Center?
No.
Yeah, we do have a Tampa office. And the attorney there is not the Medicaid attorney, but he can gather the information to present to the Medicaid attorney, and the two of them would work together somewhat to make all this happen for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Let's go to John in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, John.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
I've got a question for you, and there's two, actually. One regarding probate, the other regarding foreclosure. I've got a friend, he's sitting right next to me here. His home was going through a foreclosure process, and it's going to go for an auction sale on the 24th of this month. He left the house a few days ago out of town just to get away. He comes back, and the mortgage company has placed lockboxes on his home. He can't get in. Is that legal?
Well, at what stage of the foreclosure, the house has already been foreclosed on, and then it's set for sale, I'm taking.
It's for sale, but it hasn't been foreclosed. It was working through a repayment modification. It has not gone through the complete foreclosure process. He still has until the 24th for the modification to be completed.
Wow.
But he just left for a couple of days, come back, and I called the company on his behalf. And they were at a loss for words. It's like there's some miscommunication between their field worker that goes out and put these locks on the home. But I didn't know if there's anything he can do because he can't get in the house.
John, can you send an email?
Yes, sir. I'll send an email.
All right, send me an email asking that our foreclosure attorney call you as soon as possible. So hopefully I can get him to call you this weekend. Discuss what you should do. His name is Jim. Yeah, I've mentioned him a couple of times during the show.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, so just Joe at attypip.com.
And I also have a probate question for my friend also.
Okay.
His mom died. The owner of the home died. And he had siblings. The siblings are not interested in the home. And he had a local attorney send out a certified letter to the siblings regarding probate.
Mm-hmm.
Two certified confirmations came back, but the other one, which went out to Connecticut, never came back, and he can't seem to reach that sibling. Is there anything else he can do?
No. What kind of they needed a certification for what?
Certified letter because it never went to probate before the mom died. She didn't have.
And what were they trying to attempt with a certified letter?
To confirm that the other siblings have no interest in the property.
Oh, I see.
And we just can't reach him. He's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I heard him. I heard him speak. Well, so you think the person's moved away from the location you sent the letter to?
No. He said no.
Did you come back? The thing never ran into the state. It's in New York instead of Connecticut.
Oh, I see.
It's sitting in fresh days.
Yeah, U.S. mail, it stopped, according to the tracking, in New York instead of made it to Connecticut for her to receive it. And she's not answering his phone calls.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're going to need an attorney in that state to figure out what the rules are there as far as his circumstance, because I can only give you a Florida answer.
Okay.
And you can you can have a process server serve papers as opposed to a certified letter.
Okay.
And that might be the next best step, but you know there might be some other things to do as well.
All right, Skip.
All right.
I guess we have to do that route. I greatly appreciate it. I'll send an email over to your office.
Okay.
And that that attorney's name again in regards to the
His name is Jim.
Tim?
Jim, J-I-M, yes.
Oh, J-I-M. Thanks, Joe.
All right.
You do a great job, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Let's go to Alan in Sarasota.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Well, I've got allergies. That's why I'm speaking funny. And I'm getting up in years. But, Joe, I tried to contact you by email about 3 weeks ago, and then I sent another one off, I think, yesterday. So you can disregard those emails. But my question is, I had a new roof installed on my home about 4 years ago. After the job was completed, I paid the contractor in full, and then the contractor died that evening, which resulted in the supplier not being paid for the material.
Yeah,
used by
I was reading that. I was reading that email last night.
Were you? God bless you. Okay.
So actually, you're going to have to probably file a claim on the deceased person's estate.
I did that. No, I here's what I said. So that supplier filed the mechanic's lien against me.
Which he had the right
to
do.
I tried to go against the estate of the contractor with negative results. I did nothing for a year and then found out that the supplier did not follow the law, which stated that he had to renew that lien at the end of a year.
Yeah.
And
well,
he
yeah.
failed to renew and secure that lien. And then I wrote a letter of affidavit to the court stipulating the supplier's failure to renew that lien. So I guess my question, will I have any trouble with a sales contract if I put the home up for sale?
Well, the title company could make some issue out of it, but the lien did become null and void because they never followed up with it. You could have contested the lien and made the period shorter than a year, but your best chance would be to, if you decide to sell, have the realtor look into if the title company is going to have an issue with it. There's nothing else for you to do at this point, I don't think.
Okay, very good, Joe, and I appreciate your being there.
All right.
And God bless you. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Let's go to John.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. Let's go to John in Bradenton.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, John.
I have a trust, and my question is, when I die, how does my successor trustee make distributions?
For example, they would take your death certificate and the trust to the bank where you have an account. They would make the bank would make him the trustee. They need to have access to the checkbook to write checks, pay bills, and deal with creditors.
Well, how does my successor's trustee just write a check from the existing bank account?
He goes to the bank with the trust and your death certificate.
Okay.
The bank then makes him the trustee. So then he can write checks.
Okay. Does the name on the account have to be changed, or does the
usually,
bank handle that?
Yeah, the bank usually he'd probably get new checks, though he doesn't have to, because internally the bank records will show he's got signing authority.
Okay.
If you didn't have new checks, it would be, John, and then the name of the person is trustee on the account.
Okay. Now, second question, should my bank account be changed from my name to the name of my trust?
Yes, of course. That's what's going to make it avoid probate, because it won't be in a deceased person's name. It'll be in your living trust.
Okay. And right now, the account is in my name, but I've got the beneficiary as a trust. But you're saying I should change that and change the account.
Well, no, if it winds up in the trust, it's okay. I've got 1 minute, so I've got to answer this and then jump off.
Okay.
If the beneficiary is the trust, that's better. I think it's better to have it your name trustee now instead of naming a beneficiary. But either way, winds up in the trust. The difference is if it's in the trust now, it could be used for your benefit while you're living but incapacitated. Whereas if it's just the beneficiary, they have to wait till death. Hey, John, if you have other questions, you can call me or email me. I'll be glad, or text me. I'll be glad to talk to you.
All right, thanks.
Thank
you.
All right, thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney every week or today, and we're on every week. So if you have a legal question or something you worry about, you always have a source to come in and discuss it, maybe get a new direction, and maybe a little peace of mind. Hey, you have a great weekend. So long.